Coming to you live from King of the Beach, Madeira Beach.
We're not live.
Coming to you live, action packed series. From King of the Beach.
We're not live.
Let me do this. Coming to you live from Madeira Beach, Florida, King of the Beach. Check it out.
Not live.
Final fish of the evening, but when the fish ring, 44.70 pounds, when you're King of the Beach, winner.
King of the Beach. That was a little footage from this last weekend's King of the Beach tournament out of Madeira Beach, Florida, and there was some pretty rough weather for this one. Anybody that knows about kingfishing tournaments, they get a little rough sometimes, and this year was no different. Winds were blowing good. Everybody got beat up. But in the end, team loaded down to King of the Beach with a 44.7 kingfish. So congratulations to them. It was a big finish, too. Man, all day long, it was a 37-pounder on there at the top of the heap. They came in right at the finish, and it was pretty dramatic. It was a good finish and a good day. So check that out on Old Salt's website. And let's see. The next tournament we got coming up is Fishbrain's Let's Go Fishing Tournament. That is December 3rd at Hula Bay here in Tampa. Fishbrain always puts on good stuff, so definitely check that out. It's going to be a great tournament, a lot of fun. So this week is brought to you by Semule. Semule.com for all their great fishing carts, fishing accessories. Check out Semule at Semule.com. Okay, this week we brought in Bubba Betancourt from Flats Mafia Radio. And anybody from the area here probably already knows Bubba. You might know him from his fishing reports on Fishbrain. But recently started a new radio show on 1010 AM here in Tampa Bay. And it's called Flats Mafia Radio. And Bubba's quite a character. He's got great stories. So please welcome Bubba Betancourt.
Let's break it open. Let's go.
Break it open like this bottle of water?
Yep.
What's up, Bubba?
What's going on?
Been staying busy, killing it on the internet, and now on the radio.
Staying busy. Staying busy. Right? It's crazy.
Man, here's a funny story. I met you for the first time back at the spring Titan the Drag, right?
That's right. Yes, sir.
So we're all out by the boats. It was after, you know, it was during weigh-in and everything.
Oh,
and,
God.
No, I'm not going to tell that story. I wouldn't do that to you, man. Okay. I wouldn't do that to you.
I remember the first time.
Yeah.
Oh, you remember it, too.
Anyways, man, I'm hanging out, and you're talking to this fella, and I guess he was an inshore guy, but he'd never really done much tarpon fishing.
Uh-huh.
And you gave him a clinic in under 2 minutes. Like, here, man, you gave him a general area, like, you know, pick a bridge, blah, blah, blah. You do this, put this line on it,
yep.
You put this bait, you lay it right here. Boom, boom, boom. I was like, damn, this dude needs his own show right there. I was like, I felt like I should have been writing down notes and stuff, man. I was like, you guys didn't realize this guy just handed out gems right here for free, man.
That's it.
You know what I mean?
And
that's Bubba.
I'm telling you what, it's something that I learned from a couple of my friends growing up and put it to the test, and it's worked out for me. So, I mean, it's not necessarily that I'm giving out, you know, spot. I mean,
general area where tarpon are,
but the technique of doing
it wasn't like you even said a bridge, just this type of situation,
and that technique works.
Yeah, and I'm like, man, you probably should have wrote that down, man.
Yeah, it was flowing, you know. That was a good time.
No, that was a trip. So I'm not saying it was me that put it out in the universe and made it happen, but I mean, here you are with the radio show.
Yeah.
So
it was good.
I'm not saying it was me, but
I got you.
It might have been me.
I appreciate it.
But hey, I've watched the past couple of shows, man, and you guys are coming out of the gate.
Yeah, we
really good.
We're trying, man. It's really becoming a full-time job for myself of just getting prepped for just even that hour on the radio.
People don't understand.
But
yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that goes to it. But
yeah.
My goal with the team of guys I'm with is just no matter what happens during the show, as long as we're doing better every week. So as we're progressing, we're only going to get better.
Right.
And you know, it's a work in progress, and it's, I love it, man. Like the thing, the burning fire inside my body when I'm going into the studio, or even when I get to start listening, something about listening to my voice through the microphone on my headphones, it just lights something up.
Yeah, so, right.
I mean, I love it, dude. I love it.
You can tell, man. You guys are having fun in there.
Does such a good job.
Yeah, and what I like about it the most, really, is like I said to you earlier, you know, there's a flavor there. There's a, it's not your standard fishing show.
Yeah, exactly.
There's stuff going on, and it doesn't necessarily have to stay to fishing for that whole part.
No,
you guys break
and
off into some sports.
Exactly.
Or, you know?
You know, that's what I want to do is that I don't want to turn, yes, it is a fishing show, but it's not your ordinary fishing show, one, two, but we're not your ordinary fishing.
Exactly.
But, you know, and even with, I'm a diehard Bucks fan, and I didn't even get to do it. I didn't even get to do it this
Let's
week.
Go Bucks.
And it was a terrible loss. You know, anytime I watch a Bucks game, my nails, everything. But
yeah.
Talk about, eventually I wanted to be able to, we could talk about just everything in general.
Right.
I mean, stick to the fishing and then we break off into something. I just want to be entertaining. Because at the end of the day, if you're entertaining on the radio and you can give out a little bit of information that people can relate to, that's what it's all about, keeping them entertained.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's exactly what I was thinking when I'm watching. The chemistry's there. You can tell you guys are good friends.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This isn't something that was slapped together. You
great
guys
captain,
hung out for a long time. And judging from everything I see in the Facebook and everything, you guys go out there and kill it together. So you know you're good team and everything.
It really shows. We have a strong team. Everyone has a perfect, they play a perfect part in the whole deal, and every personality plays a perfect part in it, so it allows us to mix together pretty well.
Right.
So
what station was that on again?
10:10 a.m.
10,
yeah,
right,
10:10.
Yeah.
Money Talk Radio, 10:10 a.m.
That's
8
awesome.
To 9 a.m.
Yeah, and then the Facebook Live stuff, too.
Sponsored by
CEO. I like that behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. I was speaking to my... My video guy, Greg Brewer, he texted me right after the show this week, and he was like, Bubba, we're going behind the scenes all before. We have to do the behind the scenes
stuff. No, it's
good.
That's some of the most entertaining stuff to me, man. I said, watch it, you know. It's,
absolutely.
Yeah, and I would try to be in it, I mean, on the social media things. More like when doing with the videos and stuff, Snapchat allows me to do a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff. But just like when we were doing the commercials the other day, like, that is what people want to look at. They want to, excuse me, they don't want to just see the perfect outcome.
Exactly.
Let's see the work in progress. No one is perfect, period.
I was laughing to myself because the same thing, you know, we're starting to get things going here with Fish Pod, and I've been trying to record some things, same stuff, commercial stuff, or reviews and stuff. And you talk all day long. You never stutter once. You don't mess up your words. Yep. But it seems like the second you're concentrating
right
on trying to say
on
that one thing,
yep.
It happens at least once every time.
Oh, it's
so when I was seeing, I was like, oh, I'm not alone, you know?
Yeah. It's not. I mean, literally, like, you can be perfect throughout the day, and then just it's something, like I said, even with just that same, it could be that same burning fire inside you that it's just so intense that you're just you got the, but that's what I think makes things great is when that adrenaline rush and stuff like that it gives off. So
it's definitely a rewarding thing too.
Yeah,
it's all done, you can listen
to it. But
everything.
I mean, dude, I'm like I am hard on myself, so I've gone back to the last two videos.
Huh?
That last two radios we've done.
What did I tell you?
Yeah.
I'm super critical about everything. He's like, man, why are you recording that again?
Yeah.
I'm like, man, I don't know. It's just really
I ask him all the time. I'm like, man, why do you do it 3 or 4 times? You know? And he's like, oh, critical.
Yeah.
Critical.
Well, because you have the ability to be perfect when you're recording and stuff like that. You have the ability to be perfect, so why not be perfect when you can? Because sometimes when you're live, you can't be perfect. And then now you're getting that, like, I know there's been a couple times on the show where I was trying to think about telling the story about my waiters. I couldn't think about what the fitting room was called or the dressing room. I couldn't even think of it.
Yeah.
And then it ended up turning into, I was in the waiting room trying on my waiters, and it was like, it's all messed up. Yeah.
It's a totally different story now.
Yeah, completely
police
changed.
Got involved, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, but tell them about your fishing over there in Davis Island.
Oh, yeah. Well, right now, the fishing in Davis Island has been, well, see, where I grew up at and where I still live now, I am like minutes away from Rick's on the River boat ramp.
Right.
So for years and years.
Seminole Heights,
from Seminole Heights. But for years and years, I've fished that. I put in at Rick's. I'll hit the river, go find some bait, and we'll either fish dock lights, or there's so many spots in the river at the mouth that you can only fish maybe for 11, 12 minutes. It's like pull up, throw, everyone gets two or three times at the honey hole. If you hook up, boom, maybe you get lucky, because before you know it, the sheriff, the Coast Guard, somebody's kicking you out ever since 9/11, they've ruined every honey hole out there.
Right.
But we just happened to stumble upon one of these canals. A good friend of mine took me, and I saw them for, I think, 2, maybe 3 weeks straight, come back on a Saturday, and they killed the fish. I mean, they're coming back with 3 or 4 keepers. You know, they were doing a party, so they were, we got a nice fish
fry.
Right
in Davis Island.
Right out by Davis Island, right on just one of those canals outside by Jeter's house. Jeter has a mansion out there. Right in there. And, bro, the bait was loaded up. It was loaded up in the same place where the fish were, and we caught, I think that day, I mean, we didn't destroy them, but I mean, we caught like 11, 12 redfish, probably, I want to say, more than half of them were overslot.
Nice.
And then a fat snook.
That's
it was a stellar day, no matter what. Oh,
man.
Yeah, dude, and then creek chubs.
Yeah.
Creek chubs is what we caught most of the bait on.
And you know what? I was actually listening to the other day, and you said creek chubs. What the hell is that?
All right, so it almost looks
like... Is it live bait?
It's real slimy. It almost looks like... kind of like a mullet mixed with a bluegill.
What?
To me, that's kind of how I get it. I mean, kind of like the color or something. Okay. Maybe like a...
How do you catch them?
I don't. My buddy picks him up every time we go in the river. He stops at that bait shop over there off Hillsboro Memorial, picks him up there. And like the first time he got them and we went night fishing, they were smaller ones. The ones he brought on Saturday, they were like this. They're probably like that. But you pull them out of the live one, it's the camera should be rolling at all times, because you'll pull them out of the live one and it's like this.
Slide.
It hits the ground.
You're juggling.
Oh, man, slippery.
You got to be a good juggler.
They are durable. When I tell you they're more durable than a pinfish, like
that's hard to believe.
I said it on the radio this weekend. I threw it off the back wall, smashed it, and you could see as soon as it hit the water, my bobber was moving, and it's taking off still alive. I mean, they're durable.
That's exactly why I brought this up, because I heard on the show, you slung that thing.
Slung it. Yeah.
Killed it. Didn't even kill it. Knocked the damn thing out.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I don't know how it didn't die. I believe I said I Scottie Pippened it off the backboard.
Scottie Pippened it.
And I literally threw like sideways, and there was no grazing the water, nothing. It was direct hit to the wall.
In the canals of Davis Island. Never been up there before.
Me either.
Are they good?
Yeah, I mean... honestly, to be honest with you, they don't really start getting gooder, is what I would call them, until once it starts getting colder.
Just like more cold front.
Yeah, just like anywhere else. Once it starts getting cold, those fish are going to move into the and just like Cobra Thals or any place that has canals, those fish are going to just load up in there. Because one of the biggest reasons is because those people that have that big money to live on the water, they spend big money on those lights on their docks. Mm-hmm. And that's giving those fish heat. That's giving
straight
off some heat.
For them.
Yeah, and they go straight
They're
to
all
it.
Over the place now,
oh, my
too.
God.
Yeah.
And really and truly, my where I love to go in the wintertime is Tierra Verde.
Yeah.
And you go fish all those residential docks, and you will kill snook, grouper, trout, redfish. I mean, you go in there and have a there's. I don't even know if there's a slam for all the fish that you go in there
right,
and catch.
Yeah.
We're at Tierra Verde, right?
Tierra Verde. Well, once you get
that's
to
where I grew
colder.
Up fishing is that area there and Fort DeSoto and all that.
Yeah.
So that was always my. You know, I found myself for a long time until just recently. It's hard to break away from where you know you can go catch fish and go to new areas and stuff. Do you get out and adventure a lot?
Oh yeah, yeah. I try to, and when I remember telling myself right when I. When I got my captain's license and I had my boat, I was like, I was going to dedicate my Mondays to I'm going to a new spot No, I'm going to pick a, go look at the map, and I'm going to pick a new spot, and I'm going to go there for the day. I'm going to go look for bait. I'm going to go try to find some holes. If it's a low
just
tide,
scout it out.
Scout it out. Find out where the oyster beds are. Find out where the deeper pockets are. Whether I even catch fish or not, right. At least I scouted. So then if I go back that next Monday, I'm like, okay, I scouted it. Now my tide's a little different. I got a little bit more water. I could probably get back into some of the places I saw, but then I'll go try it out. Right. But one of some of the biggest things when you're going to those new spots is that, you know, finding the bait. You know, finding the bait and being able to, yeah. Once you have, when you're loaded up on bait, I mean, you can go hit 6-7 different spots that you've never fished before and chum, get there, chum, see what goes on. If nothing hits those chummers you throw out and you throw 2 bat loads full of chummers and nothing hits it, guess what?
It's
keep it moving.
Go. Yeah, right.
Keep it moving.
Definitely.
Exactly.
That's the thing for me now is I'm trying to get out, try new areas. You know, so, and just like you, you want to go out there, you know, check out the situation and everything. And so when you go to those new areas and you're at that part of the tide there, you have no choice. What are you going to try to do to see what you need to do that day to catch fish? I mean, you've never been there before. Do you use like a lure and kind of search for them, or you're just going to chum it up and then?
Yeah, most of the time. I get to a new area. If the tide's up, I'm going to do normally what I do anywhere else for how I catch fish. Snook on a high tide. Fish are usually push up on the mangroves. Try to get in there, anchor up just right. Chum close to the mangroves. Most of the time, exactly. Those fish are going to be sitting way up under there on a high tide. That stuff goes 5-6 feet back.
Right, right.
Those fish are
up,
I mean,
underneath.
And where when I first, like, I was like, I was at the Florida Aquarium, and I went to their little redfish and snook exhibit they have there, and I'm looking at how these fish, and they have the mangroves set up, and this was years ago. And then, actually, after being on the water, wade fishing, then going and, like, exploring, how far does this really go back?
Right.
And, like, those fish, I like to get to that area, chum, give it, sometimes I give it 20 minutes, you know, but if I'm in a new area and I'm fishing that, I'm going to fish the mangroves on a high tide. I'm going to look for the big sand, deep sand pockets inside that grass, chum that too, and just do what you would normally do at the spots that you know produce.
It's
try to
all
use those
about
same
chum.
Yeah.
It's all about chum.
It is. I like to load up. I mean,
that white bait.
When you use it while it's around, because it's going to disappear here soon, especially for me, like in the river and stuff, it's hard. So, like, We switch to, like, finger mullets if we can get them at the boat ramp, or the bait of choice is the creek chubs. But when I fish the river at night, my number one bait has been that gulp new penny shrimp.
See, that's
really
what I'm talking about.
Some nights I don't even mess with bait. I'll go out there, you know, I'll go out there.
All artificial.
Artificial. We want, bro, my buddy, Buzo, I always yell at him because he comes on the boat. He's got 4 rods. They're already rigged. 2 of them got bombers on it. The other, I mean, it's like a death trap. Yeah. And then he has this huge tackle box with nothing but lures. Yeah. And, you know, finally, the last time we went wade fishing was probably like a month and a half ago. We went out to Cypress Beach and I didn't have nothing for artificials at the time. Like, I left my bag. He had a survival kit of lures. Oh, my God. 70 people could have fished that day with artificials. And it was cool because, you know, we went out there. We took, like, 6. I had them all hooked up to my hat all over. And we went in, actually went and worked that whole thing at Cypress Beach. But what's crazy that day is the first time I've ever been so close to a water spout starting that, like, we're fishing going this way, and all of a sudden we hear this, and I turn and look, and it looks like that the either dolphin or something's feeding in the water on top of the water.
But it was
then we saw it start to form.
It was a water spot.
And it started forming, and it got 10, 12 feet high, and then it stopped. And me and him are like, he was like, what do you
panic?
He was like, his question was, what do you want to do? I said, I'll tell you what I want to do. The truck's 300 yards away. I want to start walking towards the truck.
Right, yeah.
Well, sure enough.
It's time to go.
We get to the truck. I mean, we get almost to the truck. We're probably like 100 yards from the truck. Then it was like, all right, let's just try this last little corner. So we start fishing again, throwing our artificials again. Bro, I swear to you, not 5 minutes after doing that, it started again. It was even closer, and it started to get even bigger. And me and him didn't say nothing to each other, and we ran full speed to the truck. And then it died off again. Oh, never, man. But that was an intense.
That would have been something to see gear everywhere, lure slop around the hat and everything.
How scary is that?
That was that was pretty intense.
We've had some pretty close calls out there.
Yeah.
We've been trapped out because we usually go out in the kayaks or canoes, you know. And we've been out on the island with some stores that come through, and they've come up on you really quick. And it's like, I guess we're in the sand dunes for a little bit, man. We got trapped twice. And it was probably the scariest moments of my life. Honestly, we were...
Amen.
We come running up in there. So, well, we were in the water first, and it starts bang, 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 bang. It's everywhere. You just... All you can do is just put your nose down and start paddling. We get to shore, run up into the dunes, and we got a tarp with us and a bottle of rum.
Nice.
So we get up underneath the tarp, and it's just pouring, man, and it's cracking on the beach. You can hear it hitting. Boom, boom. And we're just like... We're going to die.
Yep.
Just hitting that rum, man. But I hope that never happens to me again, man. That was some of the scariest
it's
ever.
It's happened to us
what
twice.
What is the scariest thing you've ever done on a boat?
I was just getting ready to talk about it. Well, one of the scary... I got two things to say. The scariest thing I've ever done and the scariest thing that's ever happened to me. Scariest thing I've ever done was this year during mini season in Key West. We left our house at 4:15 in the morning to go sit on this huge rock we had. We scouted it the day before. It was loaded. So we went back there 4 o'clock in the morning. The biggest lightning thunderstorm hit us from 4:15 till 6:45 in the morning. Oh, we took a huge tarp, and my buddy had a Ranger with the half tower on it, and we ran the tarp from the back up on the tower and then to the front. And the front was literally probably only... tucked away because I rode myself on the front of it. So, like, we're all under there.
Weighting it down.
Oh, dude, rain, lightning, and the wind. It got to a point where the tarp blew off one time. We almost lost it.
Yeah.
And it was like me and my boy Tony were like...
How far were you out?
We weren't really far out. Like, we were close enough to shoot to a bridge to be a little more safe, but it was a
Hinky
super gamey.
Yeah. Super.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's super. And that same trip, which I almost... Thank God I almost lost my life. I was sitting on the front of my buddy's boat, sitting on his, he had like a little platform, usually like the polling platforms you see behind your boat.
Right.
He had one built on the front of his boat, and I'm sitting on the front of his boat. We come up underneath the bridge kind of by Murray's in Key West, and a big 36-foot yellowfin crosses our path, and he hits, my buddy hits their wake at full speed. I mean, we were probably doing 45, 50.
Oh,
so I'm sitting on the front of it like this, and I see what's about to happen. So I brace myself and I hold on, and we hit the wave and I go up and come down. And when I come down, the one of the front right legs breaks completely through the fiberglass of the boat.
What?
Throws me in a cartwheel off the boat. So I fall off the front of the boat doing 45.
40 miles an hour.
Like this. I do a complete come down, cartwheel off. My wrist slams into the boat. My shin hits the rod holder that's on its way out.
You got no way of doing anything. You just along for the ride.
That's it. I hit the side of the boat. I know I hit the side of the boat 3 times because when they finally came back to me, the rub rail was like this on the side of the boat.
Oh.
And they came back to me, and it was like when you see those videos, you know.
You got
when
thrown completely off the
I
boat.
Was thrown off the boat, right off the
lucky
boat.
Lucky you were knocked unconscious.
Bro, I'm lucky I wasn't knocked unconscious. I didn't break anything. I didn't have staples, stitches, anything. Or that's even at the worst part, get sucked under and get hit by the motor.
Yeah.
So they come back to me, and I'm like complete. I've never had the wind knocked out of me like
that. Oh, yeah. That's
and
the
I'm
worst.
Like, ugh. Like, are you all right? I'm like, and I was waiting to lift
are
my leg
floating?
Up. Yeah, I'm floating. Knocked my Crocs off. Lost my prescription $500 Costa glasses.
Brutal.
Gone.
Oh.
Almost knocked my clothes off because I hit the water so hard. So then now, here's the worst part. Now this turns into a funny story because now I'm okay. So now they come up to the boat. Even though, like, I'm waiting to lift my leg up because I feel like that my shin bone is completely out of my shin.
Oh.
That's how bad my leg's hurting. So, like, get in the boat. Well, my buddy don't have a ladder. So I got to be in some type of shallow water to get back on his boat.
Yeah.
So I'm just hanging on. They're trying to get me to
just take it easy and get over.
They get us. They get me to the shallow water in Key West. It's all hard bottom. They now drag me 15 yards along this hard bottom. Stop, please. Just get me on the boat, please. It's like I've already been almost killed, and I've been dragged to feel like across oyster beds.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, that was a pretty intense.
You're better off floating.
Yeah, it was a pretty intense trip to the Keys this year.
Bro, you have no idea. You have no idea. Like, I was when we got back to the dock and I went inside we were staying at my buddy kept his boat at this trailer park, and we get off the dock and I go inside, excuse me, and I look at myself in the mirror and I say, I start crying. Cause I'm so, I have so much going on right now. Adrenaline, like, thank God I'm still alive. Like, the same people that I read about every year in Key West, the same people I read about dying, how in the heck do those people die during that? I would have been that guy who would have died the day before mini season started, which there's so many deaths and so many boating accidents and stuff that happened. And, dude, it was a heavy
moment, man, when you're faced with your mortality like that, especially when you got everything going good for you. Yes. You know what I mean?
It's crazy.
What I like about inshore fishing the most, I don't know much about offshore, but inshore, just putting the pieces of the puzzle together. I mean, it seems like offshore, you still got to do the same thing, but it's different. And then, like, stalking fish, I use a lot of lures, you know, kayak fishing and everything, and just putting it all together, like the pieces of the puzzle for that day, finding the birds, right part of the tide, all that kind of
absolutely.
Stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, fishing is a science because it comes down to moon phases, tides, you know, the water moon. It really comes down to people who are the barometer level. You know, fishing is always better right before the storm. Right, you know, absolutely. You're out there fishing and that barometer level drops and it's like, okay, this bite's about to go off just because of, and it's crazy that the fish know that, but that, you know, it does. And that's what it comes down to, is a science when you can really start going deep into
it. I agree. Definitely. Do you ever keep any, like, a fishing diary or a log or anything?
You know,
like
my mom bought me one like 3 or 4 years ago. It's bad to the bone.
Yeah.
And I have not wrote one thing in it. and I'm so upset about that because I have a lot of intel. But you know what at the end of the day, my log, you know what my log turns into? My log turns into Instagram.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And fish brain.
Definitely fish brain.
Yeah, fish brain. But, like, when I went back to my pictures of everything I posted, okay, I can go back to that day. I was like, all right, yeah, I remember
that's
this.
What's good about fish brain, too. I forgot all about that. Yeah. That would keep very good track of everything.
Fish brain is very, very, very good.
All the weather info, absolutely. All that stuff.
Yeah, it goes back to the day. You know, you just keep it, everything logged in right there. That could be your log because they have a spot for you to log stuff, too. But, yeah, man, I really wish, because I remember one of my buddy, Glenn, I remember it was maybe 3 years ago. It was getting ready to get closer, almost right around this time, maybe. And he went back we're getting ready to leave fishing. He went back into his book, and his book was filled up. And he looked at it.
And looked for those same conditions.
Well, all he did was just he went back to that day or the days close to it,
right?
And saw where he caught bait at, and if sure enough, we didn't put the boat in and shoot straight to the spot where he had caught the bait that same time last year, it was there.
That's what I'm thinking.
And we threw the net twice. It was game over. We were fishing in 30 minutes.
I kept telling myself forever that I'm going to do it. I just started doing it with fish brain and writing stuff down in a log this year. You know, it's funny, though, the year that I don't get the fish as much because I got hurt and all this other stuff, you know, getting this together, that's when I decide to write the log. It'll be like a half-empty log.
Exactly.
Know?
Yeah,
but sucks. Another day putting together the studio.
Yeah. It's worth it, though.
Yeah,
you know?
No, it's definitely, I definitely recommend it. I really would, actually, now that I think about it, I'm pretty sure I know where that book's still at. And it's a pretty sweet book, so I like to start filling it up.
Yeah. Start doing it, brother.
Pass that along someday, you know?
Yeah, I know, exactly. Give it to my son. Let him let him take over.
Yeah, you know what? That, speaking of fish brain, though, too, that the reports that you've been doing on there.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, those have been great. I'm doing probably gonna be doing one tomorrow. and be out with my the Sea Mule cart wave fishing.
Great, man.
So tomorrow should be a little bit of entertaining and informational, you know.
Awesome. That's cool.
That's it.
And guess what? 10 a.m.
Flats Mafia Radio.
Flats Mafia Radio. Sunday.
Sponsored Sunday morning. Sea Mule.
I guess that's a good place. Thanks for coming in, bro.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
Hey, wait. Before we cut out.
One more time with the E-on.
Are you still on?
No, hey, he needs to do the E-on.
What's your social media?
Social media, Captain Bub on Instagram. Snapchat's BubTPA813. And Invasion Charters on Facebook. And Ryan Bubba Betancourt on Facebook as well.
And Flats Mafia Radio on Sundays.
Flats Mafia Radio on Sundays and FlatsMafia.com. Hey.
Thank you, Bubba, for coming in. Those were great stories. I had a blast with this podcast. This was by far the best one we've done. We're constantly improving here, so stay tuned for the next ones. You can check out everything on FishPod at FishPod Network on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. Drop us a line, fishpodnetwork@gmail.com. Tell us what you want to see, more of, less of, all that good stuff. We got a bunch of good guests coming up, a lot of new content coming up soon, too. So make sure you check out Bubba, Flats Mafia Radio. That's 10 a.m. I believe you can catch that on Podbean. Pretty sure it's Podbean. Flats Mafia Radio. I'm sure you can Google it. You can find it. Come on. We all do this nowadays. So check them out. Check us out at Fish Pod Networks, and we'll see you in the next one. Thanks.